1776.
Tim Geithner says more stimulus is badly needed. He's the Secretary of the Treasury that I think should have been booted a long time ago. 5,000 plus actually showed up in Los Angeles for mortgage help. We know that the other shoe, as I'm fond of saying, really hasn't dropped in the housing industry. And they say most of the foreclosures and the problems that are happening are from people who have a home, the value of $200,000 or less. And so the program to take these crazy interest rates and help people who are drowning with their mortgages is almost like the crazy arms. They might get it at 3, but then it's going to be jacked up eventually in the years to come up to 7 and a little bit more than that. How are they going to pay for those increases? It's like balloon payments. What a note to start on. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I promise we will lighten the load as we go along here in this hour of the show, including the Daily Salute. This is a hint here. If something great is happening in your neighborhood, somebody's done something heroic or interesting, worth mentioning, shoot me a quick note on it, americatonight.net. We're covering all kinds of things when it comes to the Daily Salute. We've got a good one coming up this time around. I'm not even going to give you hints on it. Plus, if you join us in our third hour, Nail the Score, our fun little contest, it's easy to play, and it's in our last three segments of the third hour. So the computer picks the game of the week. You call in, tell us what you think the final score will be. If you correctly nail the score, it's not just about bragging rights, although that's pretty cool. You'll get all the prizes, and they've been stocking up for 2 years. I mean, it's a really good prize pack. So I'm hoping that somebody wins. So far, haven't had a winner very early in the season. We still do the playoffs, too. So this time around, I have a good feeling. I think somebody's going to win. I just feel it. I feel like somebody's going to come through in the clutch. Coming up at the end of this hour, we'll do a sports shorts as well. Getting closer in the baseball playoffs, things are shaking out. I already mentioned the fact that we're into the NFL now at this point. Of course, Ryder Cup starting, and that's the Americans versus the Europeans. The American team includes Tiger Woods, who would love to play well in match play and for America to kind of shake off all the doldrums that have been following him since last November and what happened on Thanksgiving that exploded his world and made him the paparazzi darling for at least 8 or 9 months. He still has people following him, but there's not as much interest because he got divorced. And so all the big headlines kind of went away. Now, who cares? He's a single guy fooling around with who knows however many women. But it was different than all the salacious tales while he was. Clue, well, I already kind of gigged him at the top. Tim Geithner talking about more money, more stimulus. Not a big fan of Geithner, and part of that is because of his ties to Wall Street. He's saying that the economy needs the reinforcement from Washington, have to get that money from the government. He's saying there's a strong case that it's important to put some incentives in place for business investment to start a multi-year program of investment in infrastructure, which if you cut through the gobbledygook, we're looking to have some people beholden to the government and that don't want to be beholden to the government, who are scared to death and worried more about the tax cuts than anything else, and aren't interested in expanding, getting loans, and hiring more people. I mean, that's why they think they need more reinforcements, because if you get more money out there, well, then maybe more people will bite and jump on the line. Things are worse than they ever were, thanks to Washington. We're in debt up to our eyeballs for at least the next couple of generations. So give me a break. I mean, this is a guy who he puts in place who didn't even pay his own taxes. And that's another reason why I find it hard to listen to Geithner. I mean, he's crazy here. We don't need another stimulus. It's not a good idea. The value of cash, we are printing money, and we have no idea what the value is attached to it. I mean, forget it, Tim. It's a bad idea. Take your ball and go away. Maybe you can help Rahm get elected in Chicago. I don't know. But that's not the reinforcement I think most of us want to see. Hey, speaking of Bernanke was at a town hall recently in an event that was headlined by the Fed, and he was talking about how most Americans are still in trouble. He was kind of broad strokes. He didn't get too specific on it, but did say the U.S. economic recovery is disappointingly slow with unemployment still too high. And he's talking about the role of the central bank, laughable, in spurring that stronger economy. So, you know, you've got this, you have this unemployment rate that just says that's not shaken off. And it doesn't include, does not include the underemployed. I love to say that because people don't realize that. Okay, if you were making XYZ and supporting a family and did whatever you did, you got your job, you were there for however many years, well, getting a job in McDonald's is not going to cut it. It's not going to feed your family. It's not going to pay the mortgage, none of that. And you half the time you can't get those jobs anyway. So that's the other thing. There are people that are out of jobs, even if they wanted to work, just to clear their mind, they can't get those jobs. And, of course, the unemployment. And then what about when the unemployment runs out? It's a whole vicious cycle. There are ways, I think, to solve it, but the ways that we're hearing, the stimulus, for one, forget about it, that's not a good one. And talking about what's happening at the U.S. Central Bank and printing, just keep printing money, things aren't stabilizing. I mean, the unemployment rate is almost 10%. Inflation is low. You know, what's the Federal Reserve doing? The Federal Reserve is saying they have to help in the economic recovery and make sure that jobs come back to the United States. That's the problem. Too many of the jobs went away. All right, and here's something along those lines, but it's about the whole bailout thing with the TARP money and whatnot. And Richard Shelby, Senator Richard Shelby, and Ben Bernanke with a little exchange here on financial reform, and let's not see any more of these bailouts. Listen to it.
Would you categorically state that the Federal Reserve will never again rescue a failing financial institution such as AIG, for example?
Senator, I can say that because Dodd-Frank has eliminated the authority that we used to address AIG.
Yeah, and AIG's paying all that money back, but the three dreaded letters, boy, it was also a publicity nightmare for them. It's interesting, I saw the second Wall Street movie, Money Never Sleeps, the follow-up to the 80s movie with Michael Douglas in it, and there are some ironic twists of what's happened in the world, in the financial world, that are also in this movie, which he was making before some of the things happened. And you almost have to see it. I would say wait till it comes out on Redbox or Netflix, but rent it and pay attention to the bankers' meeting. You can almost see the Federal Reserve boys chumming the waters. I mean, it looked like it was real when you watch this movie. And that's every time I hear Geithner, I hear Ben Bernanke. You know, Bernanke was like the Time Man of the Year. I don't understand it. What did he do that bailed us out, that helped so much with this rotten economy? Makes no sense. All right, hang with us on the flip side. We're going to dive into a couple of other things, including, sadly, Hollywood icon at one point in his life passing away after many years of some good films and some great artwork. He was a good artist. I'll tell you who in just a few.
This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study, called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutritional nutritional tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center seal of approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the Buy 3, Get 1 Free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at DiabeticHealthSolution.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Tony Curtis has died, and this is a guy who, if you like the old black and whites, and then moving forward, if he was in some really great movies over the years. He was 85 years old. He died in Las Vegas. He lived in Nevada. He starred in 150 movies. He was nominated for an Oscar for a movie he made in 58 called The Defiant Ones. But he was really known for some roles like, we're going to show you a little clip, or let you hear a little clip of this role in the 1950 movie Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe and Jack Lemmon. Take a listen to this.
Syncopators. Does that mean you play that very fast music, jazz?
Yeah, real hot.
Oh, well, I guess Some Like It Hot. I personally prefer classical music.
Oh, I do, too. As a matter of fact, I spent 3 years at the Sheboygan Conservatory of Music.
Good school.
Yeah, what maybe some people don't know about Tony Curtis, typical of many of the movie stars of that time, he was born in the 20s in New York City, and his real name was Bernard Schwartz. He grew up in a poor household in the Bronx and went through the whole Great Depression, and then he took the name Tony Curtis in the 40s when he started his film career. Wasn't very lucky in love. He was married 6 times. You know what? He was really a good artist, though. I was somewhere and happened to see a gallery where they had a bunch of his work, and the guy was an incredible painter. And like I mentioned, this might be a previous couple of eras ago, but he did work with some of the biggest in the business at the time, the biggest directors like Blake Edwards and Stanley Kubrick and a whole list, just to name a few. He was also, besides all these things I mentioned, he also served in the Navy during World War II. And when he was released, you know, when he was done, he used the GI Bill, or education program they called it then, to study drama. And that's where it all started for him. So how about that? So Tony Curtis, dead after, you know, suffering through a couple of different things. He is the father of Jamie Lee Curtis. He's dead at the age of 85. Let's go to Don, who's listening to us in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
Hello, Kate. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. I saw a few of his movies. You know, he was just a cat before my time, but was he in that movie with Cary Grant on it? Closed around the South Pacific and the Pink
yes.
Submarine.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but
I've seen it.
That was mm-hmm. a funny movie.
It was a funny movie. I mean, he's before most of the times of anyone listening to us, but if you go back, you know, you can rent those old movies, and some of them are really good, and he was in a couple of them that were funny.
Yeah. I didn't catch the part with Jamie Lee Curtis, that was for his daughter. Of course, her mother was Janet Leigh, wasn't she?
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis was his daughter, yep.
Well, they must have been married, so anyway, so, that's sad. You know, I just remember, I don't think he could have ever played the bad guy. He was one of those guys in movies where, he just always looked like the good guy, you know? So
he was.
Oh, anyway, hey, Kate, reason I called, there was a thing I heard today, I was really... It didn't surprise me, but it infuriated me a little bit. And you remember a couple of years ago when Obama came into presidency, and I said, boy, the socialists are going to have a field day. This is what they want. And getting this guy in. And, you know, and we've talked over the last couple of years, or almost, he's almost been in there 2 years, that, you know, about his agenda, and that, you know, they want to take over health care. All these different things. They got their hands in General Motors, forced out that CEO. They own 80% of AIG and the bailout. You know, all these different things. And then to come to find out that the Attorney General for Utah was back in Washington at a hearing, and evidently they want to take over the alcohol industry also. Instead of the states making their own laws to, whatever the citizens in the states want to be their alcohol laws, they want to put it on a federal level to where everybody plays by the same book. And that's infuriated, of course, you know, us Mormons here in Utah, Wyoming area, we don't like alcohol, so, you know, we've got pretty strict laws. It's kind of infuriating. I guess the part about it is, Kate, is that every time you hear about Obama and his administration, they're putting their nose into something and trying to take control of it. And that's exactly what a communist society is all about, where the government has control of everything. And, that's if you go back to the Soviet Union and look at all the things, everything that they had control over, he's modeling our country after this. And us people who point it out are laughed at and called extremists or whatever and think they're
right
or something. But, I mean, for crying out loud, you know, what rights are the states going to have? I mean, as far as it looks, we might as well just get rid of state government, get rid of local government, because, hey, you know what? The federal government's going to tell you when you can, what time of day you can buy toilet paper, what time of the day you can go to the bathroom and use that toilet paper. That's what they're trying to do. And this is just another, I mean, I'm not an advocate for alcohol at all, of course. I don't drink, but, you know, every state, you know, states have the right to have their own laws, and this one fits all thing. And according to what we believe, or we think that, you know, that I'm speaking in terms of the Obama administration, that every state has to do what they tell them to do. I mean, it's just it should be the other way around, Kate. It should be the states that are playing a major role and the federal government a small role, but that's not the what Obama's about, and I don't know your thoughts on it.
No, it's more government programs, which I agree. And we know about the deficit, and we know it's going to take generations to bail all this stuff out, and of course the Chinese owning the deficit And you're right. It's not the, to me, it's not the answer. I'm about smaller government too. I mean, yes, there can be some government, but how much government interference? We see that most of it doesn't work. I mean, what are the most successful government programs? You know, when people say they like the idea of the government being there, handy, the handouts, the whatever, they can't really name successful programs that have really, really worked. Social Security for a while, but now it's not even going to be there for the rest of us.
No, and, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, and here's the thing, Kate, here was something else I was thinking about, Shirley, you, could you imagine if there was somebody in this next election, not this one, you know, where there's somebody that was, that come out and yelled, I want to have a balanced budget, you know, I mean, when the last time any candidate has ever run on that? I mean, you know, Republicans are running up $500 billion a year when Bush was running the show. Obama's running the show. They're spending three times as much as the Democrats are. You know, $1.5 trillion a year. I just would be amazed if somebody came out and said, my goal in my administration is that we're going to have a balanced budget. You know, quit running up this deficit. You know, and if that means cutting, you know, they're taking in, what, $2.5 trillion a year and running a, he's spending $4 billion or $4 trillion right now.
Right.
If that means cutting every federal government agency budget in half, you know, And you know, I'm pro keeping the military strong, but if that means straightforward across, cut it in half so that this country, you know, can start to get its way out of debt so that we can control our own future, not the Chinese, not the Japanese, not all these people that are, we owe the money to, then, that would be a great thing. But I have yet to hear a candidate that's come out and said, let's have a balanced budget. You know,
no, you have people that, you have candidates that say, let's reduce the deficit, but not balanced budget, because they know they can't do it.
And there's like 10 or 12 states, and Utah's one of them, Wyoming's another one, that have laws to where they have to have a balanced budget before the Congress can leave. And what did these morons do yesterday? I mean, they sit there and
take
off before they leave, before they finish their business. You know, and before they sit there and give America the bad news that we already know is coming via the Obama administration, and that it's not going to just be the rich that's taxes are going up. Everyone's taxes are going
up.
Yep,
yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just not, if they're going to keep spending as much money as they're going to spend, you know, they're going to have to raise the taxes, you know. And I just get appalled when I hear that somebody's paying 39.5% of their income, you know, take to the federal, the rich, you know, the highest group tax bracket. They're paying that to the federal government. Then they've got state taxes. Then you've got sales tax. I mean, you know, there's every type of tax you can think of. If they're trying to tell people that you got to live on less than 50% of your income, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's not supposed to be that way. It absolutely doesn't work. Don, have a great weekend. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about some thoughts on immigration from Rupert Murdoch and Mayor Bloomberg from New York.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network. No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change Tea will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
Don't forget, if you just tuned in to America Tonight, first of all, hey, the weekend in our sights. Gotta love that. Hopefully you're chillaxing a little bit with family, friends, or whatever, just hanging out. Maybe you're watching a couple of ball games. We're going to talk sports in our next segment, but before we do that, just a quick reminder, in our third hour, Nail the Score, week 4 in the NFL. Randomly, the game comes up, you call, you say who you think is going to win and what you think the final score will be. If you nail it, you win our prize pack and, more importantly, get huge bragging rights. Well, let's talk about immigration for a second. Both Rupert Murdoch, who seems to own the world, at least media-wise, he is the man behind Fox, as all of you know, and Fox programming, all that sort of stuff. He is a media mogul, to say the least. And then Mayor Bloomberg, who also is involved in media, because that's how he made a lot of his fortune with the Bloomberg, of course, if you know anything about Bloomberg, the terminals that are installed, the business of Bloomberg, which is market stuff and business, up-to-the-date market, the Dow, et cetera, that's pumped out. So in various newsrooms, they have got these computers that will pump it all out, and, of course, he's got Bloomberg News, which is all of the financial news. And the three-time mayor of New York has many thoughts on immigration. So both Murdoch and Bloomberg feel that it's crazy, some of the things that are being talked about as far as the visas and what we're doing to some of the best and the brightest who would come to the United States and then leave because of the visa situations. So Murdoch says you got to keep those doors open, and Bloomberg, in a different twist, agrees, says it's, he likens it to national suicide after all the money that's invested in some of the people that come here. Listen to both of them.
America needs to keep a door open to those who come here to get an advanced degree and then allow them to join the ranks of our most productive scientists, entrepreneurs, innovators, and educators.
More and more foreign students are reporting plans to return home because of visa problems. We educate them here, and then, in effect, we tell them to take that knowledge and start jobs in other countries. It makes no sense whatsoever. I've described this as national suicide.
And here's what happened. This, of course, was on the Hill. Maxine Waters asked Murdoch about immigration reform legislation that partly he's supporting and his company views on it. That's how that happened. It was a House Judiciary Subcommittee on Reform. Bloomberg, of course, in front of the same committee talking about it. And, you know, it's interesting that what they're talking about is that too many people are getting booted out who come here for different reasons, for education reasons, whatever, and so why should they fall into the same pot, basically, as somebody who worms their way here, and they didn't say that, but that's what they're talking about, somebody worms their way in, and then ultimately you find out that there's no tabs on where they've gone or what they're doing, but that's the problem. The visa situation has gotten so out of control that it's a mess, and that's what we keep tracing back our incidents to. So like you had the guy in Dallas, Texas, that was going to blow up the building. He had a visa that expires. I mean, how many of those visas expire, and how many people come in on the so-called student visa, wink, wink, but it has nothing to do with that. I mean, immigration across the board, let's face it, is lousy. And has to be reformed, has to be changed. Something has to be done. It's the system from top to bottom is screwed up. And we always dance around this. Politically, it's a giant waltz, and it never stops. And here we are again in an election year, and of course, it's just about conversation. Nothing moves forward on this. It's been years, more than years, since even the addressing the border situation has become serious. Not just the show of, okay, we're Homeland Security and now we've got more people on the case as far as the drugs and all that. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about purely not knowing who's in the country, what they're doing here, and how they've come into the country visa-wise. I mean, that's the problem. I agree. If somebody comes here, they want to be an American, they get the exception for whatever reason, go to the school, and it's legit, letting or pushing them out when they want to stay is not the right thing to do, because it's to our benefit if you have the best and the brightest. But a lot of times that's not what happens either. It's get the education, then move on to some other place. So nobody benefits from that, if you know what I mean. All right, we're not going to solve this riddle on this show. We've covered this from top to bottom ad nauseum, and we're not done with it. And it's shelved for now. This is just more testimony. It's interesting because Maxine Waters is still waiting for her little ethics trial to happen, and that's not happening before the election. Same thing with Charlie Rangel, both of them in hot water over misappropriation of money in some ways, whether it was using the office like she did for a company her husband was involved in for the TARP funds, or it was not paying taxes in the case of Rangel. I think both of them probably go down. At least he goes down for sure. I would be stunned if he was still standing when it was all said and done. This is the Daily Salute, and I think it's a good one. To me, reading is, it's not about, oh, reading's important. I think reading's awesome. And when I was a kid, do all of you remember this? I don't care where you went to school, what public school, what part of the country, I'm just willing to bet that you had those book fairs, some kind of a book fair where for whatever amount of money, you could go to the book fair, look at the books, and buy some of the books. And that was, like, my favorite time of the year. We would, like, beg my mother to let us get more books because we grew up reading and liked to read. So I think the encouragement of reading for kids is always a good thing. And here's what they're doing in Topeka. What they're doing is they call it the Big Read. And they've got a chocolate falcon that's going to be handed out to the winner of the children's Find the Falcon Mystery Challenge. They wrapped it up into this. The library did. The goal is to bring people together by reading one book. And the one book is, can you guess what it is? Think of the falcon, the Maltese Falcon. So that's what people are going to be reading. And it kicks off on Friday. And there are a whole bunch of different things that they're doing related to what would be the Maltese Falcon. But the idea is to get, it's almost like one big book club that cuts across lines and gender and ages. And I love the idea that whoever wins their contest with all the, encouraging the reading with all the different things that they have to do in those 31 days ends up winning this chocolate falconer. Sounds pretty good too. It's 2.5 pounds of chocolate clay, which is melted chocolate and corn syrup. Ooh, sounds like a lot of calories. It stands 9 inches tall, and a local chocolate company donated it. It sounds like a whole lot of fun to me to read the book and then devour the chocolate. Does this sound good to anybody else? So I'm going to say, for the people in Topeka, good for them for putting this on their map. And it's the Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library. And that's how they're trying to unite people. And it will, because it'll start conversations. It's like the theory of the, you know, the book club thing. But this book is pretty broad, so you could really get more people, I think, involved in it. All right, this story is, we go from the happiness of reading and the Daily Salute, that is this show, totally designed for those with ADD, to this brutal story about the kid who jumped off the George Washington Bridge, which separates New Jersey and New York. Kid that was going to Rutgers. Two Rutgers University students are accused of invading his privacy. The kid who killed himself was Tyler Clementi. He was in a sexual encounter with another man, which is his business, right, in his room, in his dormitory room, and two other kids that were going to Rutgers decided they were going to out him in a very big way, I guess, by videotaping it. They planted a camera and then remotely activated the camera and caught this, you know, on tape and then put it all over the internet. So what do you think is going to happen to the kid? Of course, he's going to be humiliated. There's somebody who nobody knew about his life, whatever. And under a New Jersey law, a person is guilty of bias intimidation if they commit a crime with the purpose of intimidating someone because of, you got it, race, color, religion, gender, disability, sexual orientation, all that stuff. Or if the victim or victim's property was selected as a target because of the same reasons. So it was on the 19th that they decided that they were going to do this, and then they sent a message by Twitter about the Clementi kid. And people, of course, so many people saw it and made comments on the internet. The kid decided he couldn't handle it. And he's just 18 years old, and he jumped off of the George Washington Bridge. As I mentioned, they found his wallet and cell phone, and then eventually the next day they found his body. So they are saying that the cause of death was ruled by suicide by drowning and blunt injuries from the impact. So then the question becomes, is this a hate crime? And that's what they're going to talk about, whether or not it was bigotry reasons, hate reasons. And they're saying that, listen, the anti-gay bigotry is alive and well in the universities. The sad part is here, because no matter what your feelings are, they have a camera and they're taping him. That's just flat out wrong anyway. Stay with us. Sports Shorts coming up next.
In confusing times, would a simple outlook on health and beauty make sense?
If you're tired of taking dry vitamins without noticing any results, then the Bogdana Nutritional Formula is for you. Easy to take and absorb.
The absorption of liquids is 98% in comparison to only 20% for dry vitamins.
For the past 25 years, Bogdana Rejuvenating Nutritional Formula has been proven to get results.
Detox, nourish, and rejuvenate your body with this one-of-a-kind supplement that contains 150 natural and organic nutrients.
And a one-month supply is less than a dollar per day.
Take charge of your health and feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins or your money back.
Go to BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 1-800-234-5608.
That's BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 800-234-5608. Give your body what it needs and it will perform miracles in return.
For inner health and outer beauty, feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins today.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Tonight, you can always jump in and throw in your 2 cents throughout the show, by the way, if you feel like it. Even when we move on to some of the lighter stuff, 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net. There was college football on Thursday night for two teams that were trying to stay perfect, Oklahoma State and Texas A&M. It came down to, you know, the waning moments in this with time expiring. A 40-yard field goal is what gave Oklahoma State a 38-35 win over A&M. It's crazy. I saw bits and pieces of this game. It was the game of turnovers, my friends. Jared Johnson turned the ball over for the Aggies five times. And that was costly. And the key fumble led to the Cowboys' touchdown in the fourth quarter. And his fourth interception was brutal. And that's part of the game. That's part of the game of football. These coaches say it all the time, and it sounds like just a little coachism. Well, you know, it's about the turnovers. We have to watch for the amount of turnovers, but it's so true, especially in college ball. So for the Cowboys, they were excited. The fans were. They flooded onto the field, and it's a three-game win streak. It's their first in a very long time. I think the Aggies had won 10 of the first 12 games between the teams in the beginning of the creation of what was called in the conference the Big 12, because they were part of the Big 12. So a huge college win. Man, there are so many college teams and so many weak conferences, but so many big conferences. I'll tell you, I'm still all for a playoff in college football. I think that would be the best route to go, because some years you get lucky, and there's no dispute that the team that's the national champ is the national champ, but other years it's a little harder to tell. And the idea of the doubt, I hate the idea of leaving that dangling doubt out there. All right, we talked about this a little bit on our last show, but this is a big deal when it comes to the whole doping thing. The cyclist Alberto Contador, the Spaniard who won the Tour de France and, you know, is hailed as such a big hero in Spain. Now he's talking about, well, what was it that, you know, led to his positive doping test? And you'll hear a translator here, but it's worth listening to this little snippet.
The International Cycling Union itself stated in front of me that it was a case of food contamination, and we've been discussing this in great length during this time with a view to dealing with it in the most correct possible way.
All right. So if we cut through the clutter, the three-time champ is now saying something specific. You know, they were talking about tainted meat. That's what they're saying. They're saying it was contaminated meat that was probably why there was a positive doping test. And he's vowing, like cyclists before him, to clear his name so that the last drug scandal doesn't destroy everything he's done. Plus the suspension he would face. He'd be done for 2 years. That's what the cycling body would do to him for sure. The International Cycling Union. I just like Floyd Landis or anyone else who's been in that situation, they would bounce him for that. And what he's saying is that he bought Flamignon for the team in a Spanish border town on his way back to France, and he said he ate the meat a couple of times, and he says this is really a true mistake because of the chemical that's given to the cows and pigs and other animals to increase their growth rate. He says it was in the meat, and that's why he got that positive test. Can you imagine if that's true? Good luck trying to prove that with everything that's happened in cycling. And he beat Andy Schleck of Luxembourg by just 39 seconds to win that third tour in 4 years. But you already have his name out there. He already has his name out there, and he knows it's very tough to clear it. And I guess that's what he says he's going to fight it to the end. I mean, he's going to prove that this was just a freak thing that had nothing to do with doping whatsoever. And the antibiotic properties that are in this thing, it's called clenbuterol, has a deal that it builds muscle while burning fat, and they give it to horses to treat breathing problems. In medicine, it's used to treat asthma, so it's like a stimulant drug. It increases the heart rate and body temperature, but man, it's just not a good thing. And he knows it, and that's why if that truly is what happened, he's going to have a hell of a time proving that, so that he doesn't get on that same list as some of the others who have come before him and keep casting that shadow of a doubt over some of these cyclists who, you know, we talk about steroids in baseball, and here you have one of the toughest sports, because it really is, if you ever watch it, cycling, and now it's casting another shadow, I believe a big shadow anyway, on cycling too. All right, on to something else, and it has to do with baseball. Now more teams are clinching, so it's a question of who's going to meet who in the playoffs. Those matchups will start to be known pretty soon here, as the season is definitely almost done now at this point. The Giants had a sweep, so they added to their West lead. They're in the thick of it, too, which is good. And I read something today, because now you'll have some primetime games in baseball, certainly in the World Series, and Major League Baseball did something interesting about the late starting times for World Series games, because people complain about them. Game 3 this year is on a Saturday night, is scheduled for 6:57 East Coast time start, and Game 3 will be the first one played in an American League city. So that's not bad, but that's one game, and that's a Saturday night game. Of course, if you're on the West Coast, that's pretty early. Even for the Central time, that's pretty early. And then you've got all the other World Series games that are going to start an hour later. Five of the other six are scheduled for 7:57 East Coast time. A Sunday night game, 4, is scheduled to begin at 8:20 in the East. So it'll start after Fox is done with its NFL football. That makes sense. You know, it's crazy. There hasn't been a day game in the World Series since Game 6 in 1987. So this year's Game 3, the one that I mentioned, is actually going to be the earliest starting time for a game since then. I like day games. I don't know about the rest of you, but during the regular season, if you can catch it, I mean, even on the weekends, I think it's so fun to go out to a day game versus always going to night games. That was what Wrigley was known for forever, that it was you were going to go out and you were going to go see a day game, and then they added lights and whatnot, but forever and a day, they were the holdout where you had to go, and if you were going to sit in the bleachers or get near Wrigley, you were definitely seeing daylight, and that was it. It's still one of the greatest places to, I think, see a baseball game there, and probably Fenway in Boston. It's not about the team as much as it is about, I think, the whole surroundings and the history of it. And then it's the team if you like the team, but it's worth seeing it for sure. And what about this Dallas Cowboy, Dez Bryant, who decided to go out with his team, and they had a dinner and wine bill of $54,896 at a Dallas steakhouse, and the entire team, as a rookie lesson to him, I guess, passed the bill on to Dez Bryant. Oh, that'd be an incredible bill to pay, wouldn't it? Of course, he has the money. The money that these guys make is incredible. And that's a lot of... They must have... Talk about fine wine. They must have been ordering $100, $200, $300 bottles of wine is all I can think of. Because even the steaks at the expense of it, $54,000 and change. Woo! And see, this is all payback because he wouldn't carry the shoulder pads. There's a lesson somewhere in this. We just have to find it.